Sorban, I think he's from Romania, that has a ministry, music ministry, singing ministry. And I think from seeing the songs that he will present today, you will gain a blessing. Open your hearts up to the message that he has for us through song today.
Spirit are blowing through the land, and a proof of God's presence is being seen on every hand. Like the gentle breeze from heaven, like a proof of God and care. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is love. There is comfort in life's darkest hour. There is light in life. There is help and power in the Spirit, in the Spirit of the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is love. There is comfort. Life's darkest hour, there is light in life, there is help and power in the Spirit, in the Spirit of the Lord. Welcome.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to be here with you. And as the pastor Carpenter introduced me, I am Mario Sorban. I'm the founder of Light Your Hope Ministries. And as you could probably figure it out so far, I'm from the South. My accent betrays me. Well, I am from the South of Romania. I was born and grew up in a Christian home They're about 20 miles south of the Carpathian Mountains. And every time I come into this area where you guys are, it makes me homesick. It's very similar. It's a beautiful area. Beautiful area. In spite of the weather, you can still see. I called my wife coming back from Tryon this morning, and I said, hey, there are waterfalls on the mountains. It's just beautiful. Beautiful. But I'm glad and excited to be here with you today, that I can give you hope again. Hope in Jesus as our personal Savior, as we have partaken this morning of His body and blood. We have received Him, and we accepted His salvation. If you had kids, and I have an 8-year-old son at home, you understand how happy you are to have kids and to have toddlers in the house. And my parents were so excited to have me. But one night, I caught a cold. And since I was having this cold, I was running high fever. And they did not know how to control it. And they said, well, let's take him to the local hospital. They took me to the local hospital. And the staff there determined that I should stay overnight. Back then in Romania, they would not allow parents to stay with them, with the kids, if the kids will be hospitalized. So I was left behind, and they went home. And guess what would a toddler do all night being left alone among strangers? I cried my lungs out. And by the next day, by the mid-morning of the next day, I developed a chronic pneumonia, probably because of the cold and temperatures that were not so ambient in that room where I was in, and I was crying all the time. Well, now I was running high fever, and there was some kind of infection in my lungs. They say, well, we're going to have to transfer you to the capital. So they transfer me down there about 60 miles, 65 miles south from the city where I was, down to Bucharest. They got me there, and when I've got there, I stayed there for almost 6 weeks. And when I've got there, one of the things they told my parents said, well, he may not survive. He has got some kind of infection in his lungs. He may not survive. But if he does, he might have real problems, breathing problems. And I'm here in front of you this morning as a living testimony. I have been singing for over 20 years out of those lungs that they said they were damaged. You know, God has a plan for my life, and He has a plan for your life as well. And my whole life revives among that Bible passage in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, where God, through Isaiah, tells His people that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways. For as high are the heavens from the earth, so are my ways than your ways. And my parents were devastated, but He had better plans. And I'm here in front of you to just encourage you and give you hope that no matter what comes, He has a plan for your life. Because He so much loved the world that He sacrificed His own Son. John 3:16, I call it the golden Bible verse. Because it's got the whole gospel in there. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. He gave His only Son. That whoever would receive would not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved the world. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God so loved the world. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. He gave His only Son. That whoever would receive should not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved the world. Oh, God so loved the world. God so loved the world. Amen. God so loved the world, and He loved you and me with not... He sacrificed everything, not keeping anything for yourself, for Himself, because His Son was all that He had, and He sacrificed Him. Well, I came back home after about 6 weeks, and sure enough, when I got back home, I fell behind my immunization record, and they sent a local nurse to give me a shot. And the local nurse came to give me that shot, give me that vaccine, not being fully aware that I was filled with all kinds of medication for the past 6 weeks. Therefore, when I've got that vaccine, my body had a bad reaction to it. And within minutes, I was weak and I collapsed. I was unconscious. And I was 2 years old, And you can imagine my mom, after having spent over 6 weeks in that hospital, my father commuting down there to bring us food and necessary items, after having done all that sacrifice, now here they were with me, almost dead again. They called a doctor, and the doctor came, and what he said is, your son has two options. He might come back to life in a few hours, or he may remain a vegetable for the rest of his life. But I'm here as a living testimony to you again this morning that God had a plan for my life, and He revived me. He did revive me. And, you know, I'm looking forward for that day when there'll be none of these things, because then we'll live with Christ and we'll don't have to worry about suffering and pain and all these things. And just like in Revelation 21, John the Revelator says that then the city of New Jerusalem will come down adorned as a bride, and all the saved will be in it with no pain, no suffering, no death. And He will wipe away all our tears. I'm going to sing that song now that speaks about that beautiful city of New Jerusalem.
Last night I lay asleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in all Jerusalem beside a temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, I thought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. I thought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, hark how the angels sing, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King.
And then I thought my dream was changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas, the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery, the moon was cold and chill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. As a shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And once again the scene was changed, new earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beyond the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets, the gates were open wide, and all who would might enter and
shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sing for the night is war. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore.
Hosanna. He will come back, and one day we'll all live in that city, that beautiful city of New Jerusalem. Well, I grew up, as I told you, in a Christian home in Romania. But back then, and even now, most of the people were not Christian. Most of the people were imbued with the doctrines of the communist government, that there is no God. And most people would probably go to church on, they call it CEO Christian, Christmas and Easter Christian. Anyway, they would only go to church once in a while. They didn't know, but they wanted to impose their system, the Marxist system, on young minds. Well, on the other hand, the Christian church tried to educate their kids in the love of Christ. And we had this fellow believer in Romania who was gifted, literally gifted by the Lord with the gift of memorization. And he memorized all the book of Psalms. He memorized all the book of Daniel and Revelation. He memorized the big prophets, the small prophets. He started then to go into the Pentateuch with Genesis. And the way he memorized the books of the Bible were not just as a poem, like to just recite them. No, he would memorize them verse by verse, with a computer-like memory. So you'll ask him, what does John 1:1 say? And he'll say, in the beginning was God. And that's how he memorized the whole Bible. If you try to fool him, like, tell me what Daniel 12:32 says, he will think for a moment and say, that's not it. There is no such a verse in the Bible. So he knew exactly how he... So for that reason, he tried to inspire young kids with the same gift that they could memorize the Bible. So he would come to churches around and give them 3 to 6 months until he'll come back, and you'll have, depending of what group age you were in, I happened to be in the group that's supposed to memorize Psalms 120 to 130. And if you had it right, you would get a big prize if you made some mistakes. I know in America we don't do that, but back then, well, I mean, if you made 2 mistakes, well, you're not qualified for the first prize. So they'll not give you the first prize. In spite of the fact that carrying around Christian literature was illegal, he would carry around boxes of Bibles and all kinds of material just to inspire kids. And when he came back, he would have a program where he will invite all these kids that signed up for this Bible memorization contest. We'll all come up front here in front of the congregation, and he will start interrogating us. Just tell me Psalm 121, tell me 128, whatever. I did it right, and I earned a brand new Bible. And you know, Bibles were something, because they were on the black market. They were not in the open. You could not carry a Bible in the open back then. Otherwise, you would risk of being arrested. So he had lots of bucks of Bibles that he would somehow manage to buy them from the West and just give it and as a reinforcement gift to these kids. And I've got a Bible. I remember to this day. I wish I had it with me. It's still in Romania. When I'm going to go back this summer, I'm going to get it. It's a small Bible, like 4x6, solid green covers. And boy, I treasured that Bible. Well, when I went to high school, they would have us do what they called volunteer work for the government. Well, it wasn't actually volunteer. It was mandatory, because they will all make us go and harvest the crops. And it'll take the kids in buses and take you for 2 to 6 weeks, depending of where they were and what school you are attending. They will take you there and to harvest corn, grapes, apples, name it, everything. You know, kids and the military service people will do it. They said it's a volunteer work, but, you know, it was mandatory. We didn't want to go. We ended up going there, and while we were there, you know, they would put like 10, 12 kids in a room with bunk beds and so on, and, you know, kids being away from home, some in high school, some will try smoking for the first time, some will try drinking, some, you know. And I had my Bible, and I was reading my Bible, and this one kid, he was very active. He was the one that, the instigator of all the mess in our room, you know, throwing pillows and everything, you know, flying around. But he saw me reading the Bible and said, "Hey, what's that?" I said, "A Bible." Oh, he never saw a Bible in his life. So he said, "Can I borrow it to read?" I said, "Sure." Well, he borrowed it and he sat on his bed reading it. The door was open. And while he was reading it, one of the instructors happened to walk by on the hallway. And he looked, he was looking inside the rooms, and he immediately saw this guy sitting quiet on his bed. It was something different. So he went down, and you know, Bibles are different even now, nowadays, from the rest of the books. Their cover are usually solid color. And this one was solid color. There was nothing on it. So immediately he knew what it was, that instructor. And he came like a vulture and, boom, grabbed that Bible and said, "You and servant, come to my office." We went to his office there, and boy, he had a good time with us. He said all kinds of bad things, and he warned us. He even pushed us against the door, and then he let us go. But he confiscated my Bible. And I was so upset. But I went back to school. And after about a year or so, I had the courage to go to the vice president of the school, the high school, and asked him. And I said, "Listen, if somebody is using that Bible, they're welcome to do so. Let them read it. But if nobody's using it, which I know they don't, and it's thrown somewhere in some boxes or somewhere accumulating dust, can I have it back? I would love to have it back." And that was another miracle that God made. I had that Bible back. And that's what I said. It's sitting back in Romania. I wish I had it with me to just share with you. I'm going to sing a song. that speaks about God being praised, just like the 24 elders are praising God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days, continuously. They keep praying, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." A song by Michael Card called "Holy, Holy, Holy."
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord.
Gonna sing a couple more songs for you this morning, and I don't have a clock, and I'm not aware of what time is it. I think what's her name, Emily? She said it's God's time, so I think we'll go on. Well, I when I was in my junior year of high school, I decided to go on and in parallel to get voice training. If you go on my website, there's a name there. It's a young man by the name of Gary. He said, "You know, you ought to do something with your voice." And I said, "Well, I will." Well, I said, "Do it." So I went to the School of Art there in our county and enrolled in the School of Art for the voice performance program. And I graduated with a voice performance diploma in opera. And as you can see, you know, I have a hard time to find contemporary music that will match my voice. I can always sing classical music, but I don't know if people will stand there for an hour to listen only to classical music. So I try to combine these songs as much as I can. But I like to praise God. I sang for the Communist Party there in Romania for a number of years, but now I want to praise Him as long as I live. And I participated in 87 and 89 in what you have here as the American Idol, with the exception of the fact that they only let people be part of the competition if they were a student in a college or art school or junior singers in an opera house. And I was finalist two times. Actually, one time I was on second place in 1987, then third in 1989. And boy, I was really happy for that. You know, God has a plan for your life. sometimes it may be really difficult to believe, but yes, He does have a plan for your life. I graduated from high school and planning to go to the Romanian seminary in Bucharest or to the conservatory, Romanian conservatory in Bucharest, or to the University of Bucharest for linguistics. I had these three options, but you know, military service came in, and it was mandatory military service. And since I was preparing for these things, I told them when they interviewed me that I'm going to have my Bible, same Bible, have my Bible with me. And though the former government was gone, it was just a few months that the communist government was gone, the name was gone, the people were the same. And they said, you know what, I don't think you need to have a Bible. I don't think you need to have a Bible there with you. This is military service. You are to be totally committed to this country. And by the way, there is no God. Why would you need the Bible? And my father said, you know what? I had problems when I was in the military. And I spent a lot of days in military jail. And he said, you ought to flee the country. Otherwise, you're going to have big time problems with these people. And so I did. I left Romania first for Bogenhofen in Austria, and then I ended up in southern eastern France, 2 kilometers south of Geneva, in Switzerland, but inside France. And I started there to, first I've got the language course, past that, and I just enrolled and started life and teachings of Jesus in the theology school right there. And my parents, since when I left, the plan was that my father and mother will come to the United States to be able to work, to be able to support me in France. So they did, and they were here in the United States in the Atlanta area while I was in France, and they would call me every other weekend. Well, this day was a Thursday morning, the day of the finals. I passed the first exam, and I was going for the second one, and as I was walking back to the dorms, they waved at me to come quick. And I said, what's the rush? And they said, you got a phone call from the United States. I said, really? They should call me this coming Sunday is the weekend that they're supposed to call me. Well, they said, there's somebody on the phone for you. Well, I went there, picked up the phone, and on the other end of the line, it was Nick, a friend of ours who was the host of my family in Atlanta, Georgia. And he started out to tell me that my family was there and that my father was working in construction. I said, hey, I know that, but you know, I don't have anything against you, but why are you on the other end of the line when my father usually was the first one and then my mother? And I said, where is he? And he kept talking other things, and I said, what are you talking about? I said, where is he? I want to talk with him. Was he in an accident or something? Is he dead or alive? And he stopped. Didn't say anything. But then he said, he is dead. And I said, what? He said, your father is dead. What happened was, he was working in construction, fell off the scaffolding, about 26, 30 feet high, inside a gymnasium, a brand new gymnasium, concrete floors. He smashed his back head on that concrete and died within 10 minutes. 49 year old. And for the first time in my life, I asked God genuinely, why? Why would my only earthly support be gone? When I needed him, I was part of three singing groups, three out of four that they had on that campus in France. I was working three part-time jobs on the campus. I could not do anything, humanly speaking, anything more to support myself. I needed him. And God said, why? But you know, God has a sense of humor, and he has better ways. You know, even on this planet, we will collect some of these answers, because he definitely has a plan for your life. I didn't realize it back then, but I came for his funeral in the Romanian community down there in Atlanta. I insisted I should stay here. There's good schools, they said. There's better schools than anywhere else. And I said, yeah, I know, but I didn't know any English. I didn't have any money. I had come here with a Walmart plastic bag size worth of belongings and borrowed money for the airplane ticket and for travel expenses. But I've never complained. This is a truly blessed country. This is the country of opportunities. And I've lived here for over 16 years now. I have been a citizen of this country for a number of years. And it is indeed a blessed country. God has a plan for us. He says, my ways are not your ways. But you know, he has a sense of humor too. On December 19, Thursday morning, December 19, 9:45 a.m., I got the news of my father's death. On December 16, a Thursday morning, 1999, 8 years exactly as far as the weekly cycle goes. 8 years even. At 9:50 a.m., my son, Calvin Nicholas Silvan, was born. Doesn't he have a sense of humor? He knows how to heal hearts. And he showed me that he still loves me. So I'm going to praise him once again, because he is the only one worthy of praise, singing Steve Green's song, God and God Alone. Created all these things we call our home, from the mighty to the small, the glory in them all is God's and God's alone. God and God alone reveals the truth of what we call unknown, and all the best and worst of men won't change the master's plan. Is God's and God's alone. Be the joy of our He will be our one desire. Our hearts will never tire of God and God alone. God and God alone. It's fit to take the universe home. Let everyone that service to us pray, for God and God alone. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. Let everyone that leaves return this to us pray, for God and God. Let everyone that leaves return this to us pray. Service today, I want to sing, and we can sing it together. We prayed it before this morning, and that is the Lord's Prayer. That's number 4. You can sing it with me. Replay it. Cut the beginning of it. Number 4.
Deliver us from evil.
God bless you all. I felt too much about CDs.
Okay. You get much about CDs.
Okay.
Marius has some CDs over here for sale. If anybody would like to take a look at those after we dismiss here, we certainly appreciate him in sharing his talent and his testimony. It's just proof of what God can do with what the world thought were damaged lungs and wouldn't be able to do it. He can. He takes the things that are least in life and seem to be the most useless, and God. It just goes to show and prove what God can do when He's involved. So thank you, Marius, for sharing that with us. I just invite you to come this afternoon in a couple hours. We'll be meeting here at a quarter after two. Anybody that'd like to go out to the Pisgah Villa for the service, and love to see you then. So at this time, we will have our dismissal, and we stand as we are dismissed. Go in the peace of Christ, and may His love and His presence and His power fill your days and guide your path. Amen.